lives, the difference that he makes, that makes it night and day from where he finds us to what he makes of us and where he takes us. And ultimately, we are here because we know that we are on our way to his glorious kingdom in heaven. Do you believe that? Today, we are going to be talking a lot about clothes. We're going to be talking about, here's my fall fashion line, by the way. And someone is going to get to model those for us. So be thinking about that. But we are going to be talking about clothes. We're going to be talking about belonging. We're going to be talking about feeling out of place, where all these issues intersect. And of course, we are going to land where Jesus solves them all for us and makes us belong. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you for loving us and bringing us here to be with you and to be with each other in a place where love rules. Oh, we ask that now you would open our hearts and open our minds. Open your word to us by your Holy Spirit so that just what you sent it to do, it will do in us. And bring us to the place where we experience your loving power in the way you have intended. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been in a place where you felt completely out of place? A place where, for one reason or another, you felt unprepared, improper, that you didn't fit in. It can happen to us in so many contexts. I pray that there aren't any very good amateur or professional psychologists here today, because I'm about to tell you about a dream that I have in one form or another. I'm trying to think how long it's been since I've had that dream. Seems like it's been some time, so we're getting into a good place. Maybe you've had a dream, because I think I've heard of people having similar dreams. For me, the context is a church. And as it is in dreams, it's a church that I know what church it is, and even though it's almost completely not like that church, I know it's that church. And, you know, in my dreams, there will be a cliff in a place that I'm familiar with where there's no cliff, but in the dream, it seems absolutely normal. So I'll be at a church, or maybe I'll be at a camp meeting or something like that, and I am supposed to be speaking. And usually, if it's a church, sometimes it's my home church up in Fortuna where I grew up, or it might be, I'm trying to think if it's happened, been ever set in English Oaks. I don't think it's ever been set in English Oaks, and you'll be thankful for that when you hear what happens. And usually, there are some conference officials around because it's an auspicious occasion. And I find that I am there at the church or on the campground, huddled in a corner somewhere. Are you figuring out where this is going? Huddled in a corner somewhere with perhaps only a blanket or a towel to clothe myself. And I'm trying to figure out what to do, because I am not prepared, I am not dressed for the occasion. And somewhere along the line, I wake up before it comes to a head and left wondering how that would have been solved. But anyway, in one form or another, we get that feeling, don't we? And so often, it has to do with dress. It has to do with attire. It has to do with clothing that makes us not fit in. Oh, how many of us, growing up in schools, have been made to not fit in because we didn't have the right brand of clothing, the right brand of jeans, or something like that. And people made us feel like we didn't fit in. Or we ourselves, whether anyone else said anything, did anything mean or not, looked around at the people around us and said, I don't fit in. How many people have come to church and looked at the people all dressed up and said, I wonder if I can fit in here? Let me assure you, if you've ever felt that way or wondered that, the rule here is that you are welcome and you will fit in. And if we aren't making you feel welcome and fit in, you come talk to me. You talk to Pastor Manny, because we are teaching and we are encouraging so that this is a place where everyone feels like they belong. And I am so happy that the story I'm about to share with you illustrates this so powerfully. So would you turn with me to Zechariah chapter 3. It's almost to the end of the Old Testament. And it tells an amazing story of someone who didn't fit in and how they were made to fit in where they didn't even feel like they could possibly belong in the presence of the Lord himself. And so here we are in Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet, and he was receiving a vision. And this passage isn't absolutely clear about where the vision is set, but it's set in the presence of the angel of the Lord. And there seem to be heavenly beings around, as are in so many of the visions that Zechariah had. And so I kind of feel like this vision must be set in heaven. And now here's the story. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Zechariah chapter 3. And let me give you a clue. You're free to identify with whoever you want to in this passage. I doubt there are too many of us that feel comfortable with identifying with the angel of the Lord, with Yahweh himself. And I hope there aren't many or any who feel most naturally that they identify with Satan. Don't raise your hands if you do. Oh, if we talk about freedom here, so you can. But let's look and focus in on Joshua. By the way, whose name is essentially the name is same as Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves. Does this look very comfortable for Joshua? Let me read that again. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Does that sound very comfortable? By the way, the literal translation of the word Satan is accuser. And the verb that's translated to oppose him is to Satan him. So Satan was standing there to Satan him. The accuser was standing there to accuse him. So Joshua is set up. He's there, and so far we don't know what he looks like. We don't know his attire. We don't know how prepared or unprepared he is for this, but we're about to. But look at what the Lord does preemptively to this human being standing in his presence. And we're going to find out how much more amazing that is as we go on. And the Lord said to Satan, Yahweh said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Isn't that wonderful? Whose side does God automatically want to take? When Satan is accusing you, when Satan is telling you, you don't belong here. You're trying to belong where holiness is a value, where love is the culture. You're trying to belong here where people are trying to live right. You don't belong here. And what does the Lord say? He doesn't have anyone higher than himself to appeal to. So he says, Yahweh rebuke you. There's many more raw ways that we could put that. He tells Satan to shut his mouth and to stop it. That's how the Lord is. That's the Lord's automatic. Oh man, it reminds me of that woman who was caught in adultery that the accusers brought her before Jesus. Whose side did Jesus automatically take? The one who was accused. And Jesus defended her and Jesus stood up for her. just the same as in this story, doing the very same thing. And so, he says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Now look what it points out. Now Joshua, this human, this high priest who stood in as a representative of his people, was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. It's worse than you thought, isn't it? He wasn't just there as a human being with whatever self-doubts he might have had about whether he belonged there in the heavenly courts, but he was standing there in filthy garments. And now's when I need a model. I'm looking for a model in the house, someone somewhat small. Okay, come on up. You have volunteered before. You have a volunteering spirit. And you are, this usually happens at the back door, so it's not as embarrassing for me, but though it is. You're Christian?
Samantha.
It's Samantha. Not Haley, right?
No.
Not Enzo?
No.
See, now I've got all the names in my head. Now I just have to get them sorted out.
There's one more.
There's one more?
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Takeo.
Oh, Takeo. I forgot Takeo. Sorry, Takeo. Sorry. Okay. So this is Samantha. So Samantha, I have myself, you stay right over there. You're the model. I have myself created a garment for you. How do you like it?
I think it's a piece of artwork.
It's a piece of artwork. It's actually freshly designed. It has ketchup, has mustard. It has engine oil. It has transmission fluid. Or no, I think it's transaxle, pardon me. But anyway, it has transaxle fluid and dirt and grime. Don't worry, I have dried it, so it's not going to harm your clothes. So we will get rid of this. And here.
Can you wash it out?
Can I wash it out before I put it on you?
Like,
do I look like I have the time and the equipment for that? I do not. So here, you volunteered for this, so here. And fortunately, you tied your hair, so we're not even messing up your hair. Yep, there you go. All right, you want to model that for us? Thank you very much. All right, now Samantha, pardon me, let me get you a microphone. They can't hear you. I can hear you, and I love what you're saying. So, Samantha, would you feel comfortable going to a really nice party in this?
Sure.
Because you're Samantha. You're not shy at all. But how many here, if you were invited to an evening at the symphony, would feel comfortable going in this? Samantha would, but I don't see anybody who would. Oh, they support you. Fantastic. Is anyone willing to say that they would be uncomfortable going to the symphony or an opera in there? Thank you very much. You know what? Thankfully, everything I told you that was on here is what was on here. But for the sake of the scripture that we were reading, I didn't go far enough.
Didn't?
No, I didn't. Because the fact of the matter is that what the scripture said was on Joshua's garments was really gross. Really gross as it could get.
Puke?
No, not puke.
Worse.
Yes. Yeah. You know what it is now. But that's literal. It's not used in the scripture. That word is not used in the scripture very much. I'll use the King James Version because it goes, no, I'm not going to say it goes down easier. I'll use it, dung. His clothes were smeared in dung. I can't believe it. I succeeded in making Samantha feel uncomfortable. All right, so let's see what happens. You can stay there, Samantha. You're doing well. You're doing very well. So now Joshua was clothed with filthy, dung-smeared garments and was standing before the angel. Can you imagine feeling any more out of place than that? Any less? That's worse than any dream I've ever had. Just feel, I am in the wrong place. I'm unacceptable. There's no way I belong here. And look what the Lord says. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I love this, because Zechariah, who's having this vision, he can't keep quiet. He says, let them put a clean turban on his head. He wants to make his contribution. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So I want you to picture what happened here. So Joshua's in the filthy clothes, smeared in stuff. Now the Lord offers, and this is an important thing. When we talk about how the Lord puts, as was read in Isaiah 61:10, the robe of righteousness on it, a lot of times we portray it as the Lord just seeing all of our dirtiness, seeing all of our evil and our stains and our guilt, and just like covering it up. But let me tell you, if you were wearing a shirt, a robe smeared with what you know, this is talking about it being smeared with, would you want to receive a nice garment and have it put on over that? It would kind of make it grosser, wouldn't it? For you, and it would stain and mess up the new, nice clothes that were being provided for you. So you wouldn't want to do that. Do you notice what the Lord does? The Lord is not in the business of cover-ups. Humans do that. Humans just try and cover it up and hide what happened and just deny it or whatever. But the Lord deals with the... got to keep my language clean here. The Lord deals with the awful stuff. The Lord deals with the dung. He deals with the real thing. He's not afraid. Do you understand? He's not afraid to deal with it. And he doesn't just cover it up. He actually deals with it. That's what we're celebrating in communion, that Jesus didn't just deny that anything went wrong. He actually dealt with it and took it away. Amazing. So, here, I'm going to go with this one. You know, I left myself some options here. But I'm going to go with this one. I thought you would like it, Samantha. And so, the Lord did not... I forgot to take the class in hangers at seminary. Oh, there's a safety pin involved. I did not see that. There we go. Okay, so the Lord did not simply cover it up, eliminate the irrelevant parts, because that would have been gross, right? So the Lord had them take off the filthy garment. Would you please take that off? There you go. You do like that shirt?
Yeah.
I've got good news for you. You can have it. And there you go. And the Lord put on the robe of righteousness, as Isaiah calls it. Took off the filthy clothes and put on the robe of righteousness. Look at that. You've got a cape. I think your arms are supposed to go through there. Here, one, two. There you go. Someone always knows. Okay. I will follow the advice of the... thank you. Thank you. As you can tell, I am not actually a fall fashion designer. I do not have a fall line coming out. But there you go, Samantha.
Yay.
I'm sorry, this belongs to the church, so I can't give this away to you. What do you think? She likes the filthy one better. I will not get into that lesson. I love it. Did you read what it says that the Lord did here? He didn't just put a clean garment on him. He said, I will clothe you with rich robes. Isn't that like him? Remember the scripture that says, how will he who gave his son not give with him all things that we need? The Lord is extravagant. The Lord is not looking. When you think of the cross of Jesus, he didn't say, how far is barely far enough so that I can take care of this? He went the distance so that you and I, like Joshua the priest in this story, can be clean. So that you and I can belong. And it's very explicit, because look what it says going on. Let them put a clean turban on his head. They put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. He was talking to him as a leader. And likewise have charge of my courts. But I want you to focus on this sentence, the last sentence of verse 6. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. What does that mean? Joshua, who started this scene not belonging at all. He didn't feel that he belongs. Zechariah, looking on, seeing him in his filthy, gross garments, could not see him as belonging. Satan certainly was pointing out over and over and again, you don't belong. But the end of the matter, after God not covers him up, but takes away the filthy garments, the robe of Christ's righteousness doesn't just cover the surface, doesn't just cover what you look like, it actually goes into you and changes you. It relates to Ezekiel, it relates to Jeremiah, it relates to Hebrews, where it says, I will put a new heart within you, you know? I will take away the old stony heart and put in you a heart of flesh. He says, I will write my laws in your hearts. He says, he will do the work in you to change you and make you not only have a clean record, but to make you clean. So that out of a clean heart, love can flow into this world. Out of a clean heart, love can flow towards God in obedience and in following of his ways. Out of a clean heart, he goes into us and does the cleansing. And then he puts on the rich robes of only his righteousness, because whatever he does in us still does not measure up to the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we need to be right and to belong in the courts of heaven. And the good news is, he's done it. He took off the filthy garments. He gave not only clean garments, but royal garments. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Thank you so much, Samantha. I'm going to, if you will return those to me after the service, I would appreciate it. I'm going to leave those on you as a reminder as we share in the time to come. So you can go to your seat, and yes, this is yours. I'm sure everyone is envious of you. And so today, in the service that Jesus gave to us, we celebrate, we feel, we experience that cleanness that he purchased for us so dearly. He bought these clothes for us. You ever envy those television stars that at the end of their program it says wardrobe provided by, and all these fancy designers and everybody? Well, we are here to celebrate that the ending credits of your life, as we see Jesus come, the ending credits of your life on this earth, as we see Jesus coming and as we're caught up to him with the clouds of heaven, we'll say, wardrobe provided by the Lord himself. And they are clean, and they are royal, and you belong. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you that whatever way we have come to this place, feeling dirty, feeling clean, whatever way we have come to this place, feeling like we belong, feeling like we don't belong, we are able to embrace you and know that you embrace us. Whatever accusations we have felt hurled at us from humans, from Satan himself, from our own condemning hearts, we come and we thank you and receive that you answer those accusations and you take care of everything that they could ever be based on, making us clean. So I pray for each one today, however they feel at this moment, that they can recognize and know and feel that your love has overcome everything so that we can all trust you and belong here and belong in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love communion service. It's a way that we can taste and feel what Jesus has done for us. And so I want to invite each and every one of you to participate with it. You don't have to be a member of the church or anything. You just have to be a person who wants to put your faith in Jesus and experience what he offers. And so we will have the bread and the grape juice that represents his body and his blood that was shed for us. Before we do that, we follow what Jesus said in John chapter 13. As he was gathered with his disciples and they were wondering who was the greatest person in the room, Jesus took off his outer garments and did what no one had thought to have taken care of. He washed their feet from the dirt on the road. And after he had washed their feet, he said to them, "You need to do the same thing for each other." And so we take that very literally here. And so we have arranged so that you can share in the beautiful foot washing service that reminds us of how Jesus washes our sins away. And we have provision for that. It will all be this time, for those of you who have been here before for foot washing services, you will all exit this way and go down the hall towards the fellowship hall. And there is a place set up for men to wash one another's feet. There's a place set up for women to wash one another's feet. And then there's a place for families, for married couples, parents, children, to wash one another's feet as the Holy Spirit leads. And then we will come back here to share in the communion service. May God go with you, and as we experience this blessed thing that Jesus has given us, may the reality of his cleansing go deeper and deeper into you and give you that assurance that you truly belong. God bless you.